ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः ध्यानयोगो नाम षष्ठोऽध्यायः भगवान कृष्ण एम्फसाइजिंग द इम्पोर्टेंस ऑफ कर्म योग एज द ओनली मीन्स ऑफ प्रिपेरिंग वन्स माइंड फॉर नॉलेज इन टर्म्स ऑफ अंतःकरण शुद्धि ही प्रेजेंटेड द बहिरंग साधनानि द जनरल डिसिप्लिन्स टू बी ऑब्जर्व्ड बाय एनी वन who is serious about the meditation. So a serious aspirant who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, which itself is moksha, and for that vision, contemplation is the only means. Which means contemplation has to be followed by the Shravanam and Mananam. And even if a person does the Shravanam, attains the knowledge, and if that knowledge has to be ascertained, in order to sort out the habitual errors, the impurities in terms of habitual errors, caused by the long orientation, to sort out them, he has to practice contemplation, which means contemplation is also for Atma Shuddhi, mental purification only. So in order to be able to be meditative, contemplative, to have that contemplative disposition of the mind, one needs to follow these disciplines. Later, he was also talking about the antaranga sadhanani, which have to be observed before the meditation, once it's for meditation. And then, there we have come up to the 13th verse. And how he should be in the meditation. How his mind should be when he is in meditation. That is discussed in this 14th verse. Let us go straight to that verse.
प्रशान्तात्मा विगतभिः प्रशान्तात्मा विगतभिः ब्रह्मचारिव्रते स्थितः मनः संयम्यमच्चित्तः युक्त आसीत मत्परः युक्त आसीत मत्परः
So this person is a, the meditator is a Prashanta Atma. Prashanta Atma means tranquil minded. This tranquil minded means he is free from agitations, disturbances caused by the worries or negative emotions accumulated as a result of previous past experiences. And next sentence we saw Vigata Bhihi. So Vigata Bhihi, again, the one who is free from fear, literally it means fear. Here the word fear should be understood as the anxiety, and anxiety is always something about the future. And this person, how is it possible for him not to be afflicted by the worries of the past or the anxiety about the future, isn't it? Because of his understanding of the fact, because of his bringing Bhagavan into his life. He understands the situations, he understands all the emotions are there in subconscious, and they do rise and they do disturb as a result of what? No, my own past karma. Therefore, he understands them as prasada, and even any ill feeling, hatred, anger he has towards anybody associated with his past emotions and past experiences, and he remembers the fact that nobody is responsible really for the lot he is going through. It's all ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. This remembering this fact of everything being ordained by Bhagavan in the form of order helps him avoid hatred towards others, isn't it? Thereby, he is able to manage his past. And when he is sitting in, he has not completely become free from those emotions, and he is capable of managing those emotions. Therefore, this living a life of karma yoga, entertainment of the mental equipoise in all the situations, accepting everything as prasada, helped him that he is able to manage his emotions. Therefore, he is not disturbed by anything connected to the past experiences. Therefore, he is Prashanta Atma. He enjoys relative tranquility of the mind, which means his mind is available for the present, not disturbed by the past. Similarly, the Ishvara Prasada Buddhihi, which he entertains, also helps him to have the preparedness to see everything as Bhagavan's prasada. And also his understanding of the importance of exercising his will also has helped him. His commitment to live a life of dharma also has blessed him with this strength of not being worried about the future. It means he is free from the anxiety about the future also. Therefore, he is Vigata Bhihi. The concern for the future, anxiety about the future being not there, is what? Is actually being relatively free from fear. Vigata Bhihi. Therefore, the mind, attention of the mind being not available for, not being scattered, distracted by the past worries or future anxiety, his attention of the mind is totally available here now. Therefore, his attention is what now? He has converged energy of the total mind, entire mind. Vigata Bhihi, such a person is also what now? He says, One more discipline he emphasizes here, Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha. See, if the meditator has to be successful in his, in his practice of meditation, meditation has to serve the purpose, it has to be effective, definitely he must be already Prashanta Atma Vigata Bhihi. Now, not only that, Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha. Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha, yesterday I started talking about it. Now, let me continue this, the same thing here. I told you the word Brahmachari literally means the student of the Veda, because the word Brahma means Veda Shastram, Vedaha. But here, the Veda enjoins, prescribes a way of life and disciplines to be followed, observed by a Vedic student in order to make his study effective. For him to be able to absorb, understand the teaching properly, for the teaching to become effective, he has to follow certain disciplines. And those disciplines enjoined by the Veda are called Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam is not just one discipline. Brahmacharyam is a set of disciplines to be observed by a Vedic student, so that his study will be effective. He can benefit from this study. And one of those disciplines is, relationship, entertaining the relationship, which means the Brahmachari need not have too many relationships, which means he has to curtail his relationships. The more we have relationships, the more responsibilities we have, the more commitments we have, the more we'll be disturbed mentally. The meditator, even if he is a grihastha, even if he is a vanaprasthi, even if he is a sannyasi, doesn't matter. Of course, sannyasi is different, isn't it? But here, a grihastha also, how one should have such brahmachari, that vrata sthitaha means, one should entertain that, stay condition, the state of mind. What is that? When he sits for meditation, his association must be only with Bhagavan, only with the subject matter of the Shastram, and only with the teacher. Even when he sits for meditation, even teacher is not there actually speaking. He can only bow to the, mentally he can offer his pranams to the teacher for the great blessings, that's all. And then he can invoke the grace of Bhagavan to be able to, for Bhagavan's grace to be able to be successful in his endeavor. Otherwise, the Brahmachari, has no other connections. Which means, no connection means nothing can disturb him. Similarly here, the person who is going to sit in meditation, before that, he should remember only one role. He should see himself as the player of only one role of meditator. That time, he has to remember, I am here now to meditate, and I am at present, I am not any other person involved in any other role play. I'm not playing the role of a father now. I'm not playing the role of a mother now. I'm not playing the role of a brother or father or son-in-law or son or an employee or a doctor or engineer. I'm not professional. I'm not playing any other role. I am now a meditator. When you remind yourself consciously, it's auto-suggestion like, when you tell yourself, then naturally what happens? All the commitments, all the responsibilities, all that you things worry connected to those roles also, temporarily they are stopped. This is possible only if you deliberately, knowing the value of meditation, when you want to sit and seriously meditate, this auto-suggestion is possible for you. Isn't it? This is what the meditator, the more you want to be successful in meditation, the less associations and relationships one should maintain. For a serious meditator, it does not mean you should alienate everybody whoever comes to you. It is not physical alienation, emotionally not allowing oneself to be entangled with everybody we have come in contact with. You can have concern for people, relatives or friends or family members. Having concern for them, having care for them is different from getting entangled and taking the, you know, taking out, without me, nothing will move. That is the attitude. I had to be there for them, isn't it? Doing the needful is different from taking what, not thinking that without me, nothing will work. Okay, such. So that's what retiring oneself from the role plays one needs to, one has to play in day-to-day life, you know, temporarily at the time of meditation is called what? Entertaining the mind of a brahmachari. In fact, according to Shankara Bhagavad Pada, one should entertain a mind of a sannyasi. In fact, even if you are a grihastha, when you sit for meditation, your mind must be what? Like a sannyasinaha manaha syat. What should be the mind of a sannyasi? Mind of a sannyasi should not have, not supposed to have anything other than the subject matter of the shastram. What you are thinking about must be only shastram. You are dealing with other people also must be connected to shastram. Whoever comes and talks to a sannyasi, whatever discussion you have with, anything you are talking to anybody, everywhere, the shastra must be your reference. What to refer to must be shastram. What one speaks, what one lives, isn't it? What one thinks must be with reference to shastram. Similarly, brahmachari vrate sthitaha means maintaining that discipline of being focused in the subject matter of the shastram, avoiding unnecessary entanglements, at least temporarily not remembering them, temporarily, deliberately, by auto-suggestion, stopping them for some time. You need auto-suggestion here. That's called Brahmachari vrate sthitaha, this meditator, manaha sanyamya. Sanyamya means having disciplined the mind properly, completely. Having disciplined the mind completely means having withdrawn the attention of the mind from other sense objects, the senses, then focusing the mind totally on the object. Manaha sanyamya, discipline the mind. Then, where having withdrawn the mind, discipline the mind, which means keeping the mind without any distraction, where should you place the attention of the mind? Krishna says, machittaha. Machittaha means what? The one whose object of thought is only me, the Lord. The one for whom the object of the thought is Bhagavan Swarupam, nothing other than Bhagavan Swarupam. Means being focused on Bhagavan Swarupam means being focused on Bhagavan Swarupam, which is one's own Swarupam. Machit, having discipline the mind, having the mind's attention focused, placing it the attention on one's own Swarupam, which is Swarupam of Bhagavan, Machittaha. Yuktaha Matparaha Asita. Yuktaha, this meditator, Matparaha Asita. Matparaha means attainment of the knowledge of the truth is the absolute goal, ultimate end for this meditator. Now please understand, what are you meditating for? Definitely, you know, this ascertained vision of the reality, the truth of the whole, Bhagavan, you know, is the ultimate goal for this person. So meditation is not going to give him the knowledge, but meditation will help him ascertain the vision which he has already got through Shravanam. Therefore, having the only goal, paraha means what is his priority, having the attainment of knowledge, having the ascertainment of the vision as the only goal, may this person, meditator, meditate, remain in meditation. Understand? Okay, what happens to such a person? We'll see the next verse.
Yunjannevam sadatmanam. Yunjannevam sadatmanam. Yogi niyatamanasaha. Yogi niyatamanasaha. Shantim nirvana paramam. Shantim nirvana paramam. Matsamsthamadhigachati. Matsamsthamadhigachati.
So, evam yunjan sada atmanam. In this manner, this yogi, meditator, applying the mind in meditation always, fixing the mind always in meditation, focusing the attention of the mind in meditation, yunjan evam sada atmanam yunjan, is meditator, how being endowed with a disciplined mind, as a disciplined minded person, as a focused minded person, remaining in meditation always, this person, shantim nirvana paramam matsamstham adhigachati. Shantim adhigachati. What happens? Finally, this contemplation, please remember, what does the meditator meditate on? That is very important here. I told you, Krishna does not here emphasize the saguna upasanam. His focus is on nirguna brahma upasanam. His focus is on actually nididhyasanam. What is swa-swarupa anusandhanam? Swa-swarupa anusandhanam means focusing the attention of the mind in one's own swarupam. Now, which is the truth of the whole, the Ishvara. Ishvara's swarupam, Jagat's swarupam is one's own swarupam. Therefore, one who is focused, so swarupa anusandhanam, which is contemplation here, meditation. Therefore, here, so having this prepared, qualified, relatively tranquil, relatively pure mind, which is not disturbed by the past worries or future anxiety, and which also has Bhagavan's grace because of his commitment to Dharma, such a person, prasannatma, vigata bihi, niyata manasaha, disciplined minded, sada atmanam evam yunjan. Regularly practicing this meditation, regularly remaining in meditation. Understand? Fixing his mind, meditation, object of meditation, or applying his mind in meditation, what happens? As a result of that meditation, adhigacchati, he attains the shantihi, he attains the peace. He attains the peace means what? The shantim adhigacchati implies he becomes free from, free from the emotional problems. He becomes free from emotional dependence. He attains jivan muktihi. He becomes free from all afflictions just by resolving his individuality in totality, by resolving his identity in the reality, isn't it? By remaining absorbed in the meditation, he attains what now? Shanti madhigacchati means he discovers peace. Understand? Adhigacchati means what now? He attains means he discovers peace, which is jivan muktihi. But he, not only that, nirvana paramam shanti madhigacchati. That nirvana paramam means, nirvana paramam means, not only that, as a jivan muktaha, after this exhaustion of the parabdha karma also, when the person leaves his physical body, then his mind being resolved for good, he discovers the peace which is everlasting. That's why nirvana paramam matsamstham adhigacchati. Matsamstha shantihi. Shantihi means it is not relative peace. Sometimes whenever we divert the attention from one thing to other thing, the change in our routine also is a pleasure for us. Then it can make you forget your worries. Then what you have, if any pleasure, is a temporary peace. Any pleasure which helps you forget your worries is a temporary peace. But this peace is not a state of mind here. This peace is not actually something which comes as a result of enjoyment of some object of pleasure. This is matsamstham nirvana paramam shanti madhigacchati, means he discovers the peace while living as his own sarupam, and which is being his own sarupam, which will not be lost, which will remain forever. Therefore, having his mind resolved for good, this person, after the exhaustion of the parabdha karma, even after he leaves also, he will not have what? Rebirth. The mind will not be there for him to have a rebirth. Therefore, that videha muktihi is implied by what? Nirvana paramam matsamstham shanti madhigacchati. He becomes free while living. After the death also, this person attains videha muktihi, which means this shanti, which is not something which comes, therefore which is going to go, shanti being with his own swarupam, the peace being the very swarupam of the atma, and so atma being eternal, it also everlasting, permanent, non-arriving, non-departing peace which he discovers at his own swarupam, which means all his emotions resolve for good. Why? Because in that absorption, in resolving his, in ascertaining the vision of this swarupam, this fact that aham brahma asmi, in that, when that vision becomes very clear, in that clarity of vision of one's own swarupam, his eye sense, the individuality, the wrong identity is resolved, corrected, means the essence is resolved. Therefore, he is no more, there is no more a limited being. The individuality is resolved, means all the problems which go with the individuality also what? become resolved for good. The sense of limitation is resolved. The sense of inadequacy, sense of limitation, sense of smallness centered on I become resolved. Therefore, he revels in fullness. Reveling in fullness is the greatest luxury. Why? Because all this, the needs resolve. Inadequacies resolve means the needs resolve. The needs resolve means the desires resolve, passions resolve. And then there is nothing in the world. Nothing in the world is source of happiness or security. Nothing in the world is responsible for his unhappiness also. Therefore, nothing can cause any unhappiness to him. For the one who revels in fullness, nothing in the world can bring any inadequacy to him. Therefore, being independent of the world, not having passion or aversion towards anything, is undisturbed, isn't it? Therefore, he is free from desires. He is free from raga dveshas, likes and dislikes. My God, being free from the hold of desires in the form of likes and dislikes, completely a wise person becomes free from the hold of raga dveshas. Only in jnanam one can resolve one's raga dveshas absolutely. This having one's raga dveshas resolved for good is called what? Freedom from, isn't it? Freedom from emotional dependence. Freedom from the hold of raga dveshas is freedom from the hold of desires, freedom from the hold of mind, which is only then we can say he is absolute conqueror of his mind, absolute conqueror of his thoughts. Understand? Such a person is free from the hold of mind. He has the mind, but his mind is no more ignorant mind. The mind with the vision is what? Therefore, he is free from the hold of mind. Therefore, he has shantihi. Being free from the emotions, disturbances is what? Peace. What is peace? If there is no disturbance caused by, discomfort caused by unfulfilled desires, is not there. Why? Because there is no binding or non-binding desires. There is no binding desires. There is no dependence on the fulfillment of the desires. There are no needs to be fulfilled, accomplished for his happiness. Therefore, there are no raga dveshas. There's no object of hatred. There's nobody who is a dveshya for this person. There's no object of passion. There's no jealousy. There's no hatred. There's no anger. Where have they gone? Where have they gone? Where do they go? They all resolve. They were not driven away. They just resolve. They do not rise. Anger does not rise. Ragadveshas do not rise. No. Hatred does not rise. They all do not rise means they are all resolved for good. Why? Because in resolving one problem, all of them resolve. In fact, Shastram says, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, all these disturbing negative emotions are possible. They are all expressions of one's sense of inadequacy and insecurity centered on I. When that one problem is resolved, all of them simultaneously resolve for good. You are free from dependence upon anything in the world. Why? Because you are secure. For wise person, he is security himself. The source of security is one's own self. Source of happiness is one's own self. Source of peace is one's own self. Therefore, this person is free from disturbance. disturbing emotions, not having, being free from the hold of disturbing, tormenting, haunting emotions such as jealousy, hatred, etc., is what? In fact, entertainment of peace, having peace. What is peace is equal to not having, is not disturbed by or being free from disturbing negative emotions. Therefore, this person has what now? Not a peace which will be disturbed again. Once the aisance is resolved means, all the negative emotions are resolved means, there will be permanent peace, which does not come and go, which is the very swarupam. Therefore, mat samstham, Bhagavan says, the peace which is my swarupam, which is everyone's real swarupam, that peace, he attains as what? As his own swarupam. Therefore, one has to lose oneself to lose one's peace. he has rediscovered his swarupam. Therefore, the peace is there and he has resolved the fundamental problem. Therefore, all the problems caused by the fundamental problem also become resolved. He is attained now peace. Therefore, what happens? Not only he is free while living, free from those emotions, even after the death also, these emotions being resolved already while living, okay, there is no mind for him to assume another body and to be born. Therefore, what? There is no punarjanma, which is videha muktihi. That mat samstham nirvana paramam shanti madhigachati implies both jivan muktihi as well as videha muktihi. Okay? Quickly he talks about the benefit of meditation here. What is the benefit of contemplation? Isn't it? The benefit of contemplation is ascertainment of the vision of the fact of one's own swarupam being identical with Paramatma, and the benefit of which is the resolving one's fundamental problem, wrong identity, and thereby all the problems caused by wrong identity, which is freedom from negative emotions, is equal to absolute peace. Okay, now he continues. Krishna is going to talk about some more bahiranga sadhanani, general disciplines to be followed. They look very simple, but very, very important disciplines. Now, important discipline. What is the important discipline here? The maintenance of moderation in all one's endeavors, all one's, whatever one does, how one has to follow this moderation in everything one is involved in. Whether it is eating or drinking, anything. He's going to talk about it now.
Natyashnatastu yogosti, natyashnatastu yogosti, na chaikantamanashnatah, na chatiswapnashilasya, tiswapnashilasya, jagrato naiva charjuna, jagrato naiva charjuna, natyashnatastu yogosti, natyashnatastu yogosti, na chaikantamanashnatah, manashnatah, na chatiswapnashilasya, na chatiswapnashilasya, jagrato naiva charjuna, jagrato naiva charjuna.
So here, yogaha nasti. Yogaha nasti means, here, the meditation is not possible, meditation will not be effective. For whom? He says, one who does not follow this discipline of maintaining moderation. In what? He says, Atyashnan. Atyashnan means one who overeats. Atyashnataha, for the one who overeats, Nacha ekantam anashnataha, one who does not eat at all. Okay? Which means the eating must be in moderation. One should not overeat, nor should one completely avoid eating, and one should be starving. Because he says, overeating also causes discomfort and affects the health. Non-eating also affects and disturbs the health. Anything which causes discomfort and health is what? Actually, if using one's will, one does something which affects the health of the body, then that is adharma. Even though it is your own body, you have not created your body. Body has been given to you. Your duty is to maintain it properly. Because it's a living being, and overeating also causes discomfort to the body. How to know how much should I eat? Only somebody eats very little, somebody eats little more. How can I call that? That is not enough. What is my, how much should I eat? What is the quantity that I should consume? How do I know whether I have overeaten or not? After eating, if you feel uncomfortable, you have overeaten. Isn't it? Suppose what type of food you should eat? Isn't it? Sometimes when you eat food, even if you eat enough also, if you eat food which does not agree with your system, that also causes discomfort, isn't it? That is a different lesson that we are going to see later on. Okay, what food we should eat, another discipline. But here Krishna says, Bishop, anything, the food we eat healthy, nutritious, isn't it? And the sattvic food we eat, but that we should eat only in moderation. The tasty or not tasty, we should eat only enough for your system. After eating, if you feel uncomfortable, which means you have overeaten, causing discomfort to the body is adharma, papam. Understand? Then he says, similarly non-eating, anashnataha, completely avoiding, non-eating also, is what? Too much of fasting and starving also, causes discomfort, affects the health, means because your will is involved there, then what is a papam? For such a person, because once you do not eat well, your health cannot be maintained, which means for a person who does not eat enough, definitely his mind will be disturbed mind. It's very important to take care of one's food. We may think, what does the eating food have to do with the mind? In fact, what you eat contributes for the health of the mind. How much you eat also contributes for the health of the mind. Therefore, he emphasizes this following moderation in eating. Then, nacha atiswapnashilasya. Swapnashila, atiswapnashilaha means the one who is given to the habit of sleeping too much, long hours of sleeping. Sleep is a must. One should sleep. But how long you should sleep, isn't it? Is also atiswapnashilasya. Jagrataha naivacha arjuna. One who does not sleep enough, or one who oversleeps. Okay? For such people, there is no discipline. Therefore, they cannot have appropriate rest for the mind. They cannot maintain the appropriate physical health of the body. Therefore, that not maintaining the discipline of moderation in sleeping, in food habits, etc., also will contribute for what? The mental disturbance. Therefore, for such a person, he is an indisciplined person, he is indisciplined in terms of eating, sleeping, etc. For him also, meditation will not be effective. In fact, meditation will not be possible for such a person. He may claim himself to be a meditator, but still, meditation will not be effective. He concludes the same thing in the next verse.
Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnavabodhasya yukta svapnavabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnavabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkah
He says here, yukta aharaha, yukta viharaha, yukta cheshtaha, yukta swapnaha, yukta avabodaha. Means what? Yukta means this person, disciplined person who maintains this moderation in what now? In eating. Viharaha, even in the enjoyment of entertainments. Isn't it? One who maintains moderation in entertainments or recreations, and yukta cheshtaha, even in his activities, even in his profession also, it is very important for him to be moderate, to maintain this moderation. How many hours should I spare for my profession? Definitely one must take care of it, which means the profession is very important, the work is very, very important, because that's the source, that is how that you earn your living. That's very important. That does not mean the one's commitment to work and duties should not be at the cost of the time, the quality time one needs to spend with the family members. And this time one has to spend for togetherness, because being together is a very, very emotional, important thing, because we need such emotional, the togetherness. We have that emotional need. Being together is very important, and you can't go and sit with somebody else somewhere elsewhere. Definitely, family, if you have, the members are there, definitely it's important to spend some time, quality time with the family members. Therefore, he says here, yukta cheshtasya. Therefore, you have to have time for everything. It's very important to work, but that should not make one a workaholic. Therefore, yukta aharaha, yukta viharaha, yukta cheshtaha, where in karmasu, yukta swapna avabodaha, one who also maintains this moderation in his sleep, and then also waking up. It means goes to bed in time and wakes up in time. That is yukta swapna avabodhasya. One who does not keep awake for long, one does not sleep for long, such one who maintains such discipline, for him meditation, yogaha dukkaha bhavati, meditation becomes effective in terms of relieving his suffering, relieving his pain. Dukkaha bhavati means yogaha, the practice of meditation, or this meditation becomes a means of relieving his dukkham. How blesses him, the meditation result in what? Result in the ascertainment of the vision, And ascertainment of division results in what? The freedom from sorrow. Dukkaha yogaha bhavati. Definitely, it is very important for one to maintain the discipline of being, discipline of moderation in all one's activities. Okay, that he says here. Now here, so having said this, we have to go to the next verse. Before going to next verse, I just wanted to tell you here, the meditation is taught here. The subject matter of this chapter being meditation, what is discussed under the topic of meditation is also based on Yoga Shastram. Yoga Shastram, and the propounder, is a Patanjali Rishi. He is the propounder of this Yoga Shastram. And Yoga Shastram consists of two parts. One is Yoga Abhyasaha, and other part is Yoga Darshanam. So this Yoga Abhyasaha means the disciplines, this discipline of meditation, the practical aspect of this teaching is the discipline of meditation. It's called Yoga Abhyasaha. And Yoga Shastra, here Yoga Darshanam means the yoga system of philosophy. And here, this Yoga Abhyasaha, the practice of meditation, the discipline of meditation, is very useful in preparing the mind for the knowledge of the truth. Meditation is not for the knowledge of the truth. Meditation is for preparing the mind for the knowledge of the truth. So the Vyasa Bhagavan or Shankar Bhagavatpada, they do not accept the yoga system of philosophy because it contradicts from the Vedantic teaching. Yoga philosophy, the yoga system of philosophy contradicts the Vedic teaching. Therefore, Vyasacharya does not accept this yoga system of philosophy. But what is accepted is, very much appreciated and recommended is Yoga Abhyasa. The discipline of meditation is accepted because it helps. For us, Shastra study is the only means. Shastram has to be studied. Shastra Shravanam has to be done for the removal of ignorance, for the attainment of knowledge. But still, for the knowledge to be effective, isn't it? For the mental purity and steadiness prepared for, required for this knowledge, for the knowledge to be effective, what is required is the discipline of meditation. Therefore, they accept this discipline of meditation, in which Vyasacharya really highly appreciates it, expresses his appreciation of the yoga abhyasa in terms of discipline of meditation, even in his Puranas such as Bhagavatam. And he in Bhagavad Gita also, he adopts that. Understand? And this yoga abhyasaha, this discipline of meditation, involves 8 steps. 8 limbs, 8-limbed meditation. I need 8-limbed discipline. We call it Ashta Anga Yoga. Ashta Anga, 8-limbed yoga. Ashtanga Yoga. And what are those, you know, limbs we'll see here. It is better to understand the Yoga Abhyasa. What is Patanjali's Yoga Abhyasa? No? What does, how it is taught there? We need to understand to appreciate how it is applied here in this chapter. Because all our confusions regarding meditations have to resolve. First we say Yamaha, then Niyamaha, Yamaha, Niyamaha, Asanam, Pranayamaha, Pratyaharaha, Yamaha, Niyamaha, Asanam, Pranayamaha, Pratyaharaha, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Samadhihi. These are the eight limbs. So Yamaha and Niyamaha, you can say they come under the category of Bahiranga Sadhanani. Yama Niyama come under the category of Bahiranga Sadhanani. Then Asanam, Pranayamaha, Pratyaharaha come under the category of Antaranga Sadhanani. When you say Bahiranga Sadhanani means disciplines to be followed always. There is no specific time when should you follow. Antaranga Sadhanani means this specific disciplines to be followed. A specific time, not always. Antaranga Sadhanani. Therefore, five have gone. The rest are what? We have to see the rest. Dharanam, Dhyanam, Samadhihi. These three actually together are said to be Atma Sanyamaha, means the process of meditation. Dharanam, Dhyanam, Samadhi, these three limbs, the set of these three limbs together is called Atma Sanyamaha, or you can say these three together imply the process of meditation, which means it's very important to remember even Patanjali Rishihi. What even Patanjali Rishihi is the propounder of this discipline of meditation, in fact, and he also straight way does not teach Dhyanam. He starts with the Yamaha, Niyamaha. Isn't it? Bahiranga Sadhanani. Then he teaches Asanam, Pranayamaha, Pratyaharaha, Antaranga Sadhanani. Only then he comes to Dharanam, then Dhyanam. The process of meditation he touches only later on. Which means this itself is the proof for us to understand how important it is, isn't it, to practice this, to observe these disciplines seriously, strictly, in order to entertain the contemplative disposition, meditative disposition of the mind. So meditation will not be possible. Meditation will not be effective, will not be possible, first of all, isn't it? We cannot have that meditative disposition of the mind unless we strictly, seriously observe those disciplines. Therefore, they are preparatory disciplines. Understand? So Yamaha, when you say Yamaha, implies five disciplines. They reveal what should be strictly avoided. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, Aparigraha. You can see the meanings. So Yamaha emphasizes these fivefold disciplines. These five disciplines tell us what should be avoided. Ahimsa means definitely himsa should be avoided. Ahimsa emphasizes the avoidance of injury, violence, hurt, physical, moral, mental, isn't it? Hurt, avoidance of anything which will hurt, which will cause injury, which will, the violence, result in violence should be avoided. So ahimsa, I'm not elaborating on them, just I'm telling you. Which means ahimsa paramo dharmaha. Ahimsa paramo dharmaha means in the whole Vedic tradition, one dharma that is highly emphasized is the more exalted of the values is ahimsa. So non-violence, non-injury, non-hurting, is not just not eating non-vegetarian food alone, of course. Not hurting, not causing any pain, to any being means, even not hurting the feelings of other persons also means. Ahimsa, unknowingly, unknowingly we don't know. That is why knowingly, consciously, we don't do anything which hurts. But here, avoidance of, the himsa, which means this is where we understand what I follow the universal values. Ahimsa, one word is enough for what? To be committed to live a life of values, universal values. If I should not get hurt, definitely I should not hurt. If you ask this question, do I want to be hurt? Do I mind getting hurt? Means everyone will say, I don't want to get hurt. Which means you know that you don't want to be hurt. You also know how, just as you don't want to get hurt, everybody else also, nobody else really wants to get hurt. Isn't it? So based on your understanding of that you don't want to get hurt, you know that hurting is not right. Therefore, you have the knowledge of right and wrong. You are blessed with the buddhi to appreciate what is right and what is wrong. You know hurting is wrong. Not hurting is right. Therefore, one has to use one's knowledge of right and wrong in consciously, cautiously in one's activities so that one can follow this, the exalted value of himsa. How do I know hurting is wrong? Non-hurting is right because I don't want to be hurt. And just as I don't want to be hurt, I know everybody else also has the same knowledge, same understanding. Nobody wants to get hurt. Thank God I know this. Therefore, ahimsa Paramaha Dharmaha. So the Yamaha begins with the most exalted value of Ahimsa, for avoidance of violence, Ahimsa. Then Satyam. Satya means avoidance of, this is another value. Once you are following Ahimsa, means the observing the truthfulness, being truthful in speech, maintenance of the discipline in terms of speech, avoidance of, being untruthful, isn't it? It's also Satyam. Ahimsa, Satyam. The next is Asteyam. Asteyam also means what? Asteyam. Again, here non-stealing. Non-stealing is Asteyam. So what should be our avoidance of stealing means, it is not simply stealing the money alone, not cheating anybody through any improper deal or enjoying anything which does not legally belong to me is also sort of theft, stealing. Illegally, improperly enjoying anything which doesn't belong to me is also sort of theft. Therefore, Asteyam, non-stealing, avoidance of stealing. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, then Brahmacharyam. I told you already, Brahmacharyam implies a set of disciplines to be observed by a Vedic student. It's not just one discipline. That previously I said, Brahmacharya Vrate Sthitaha, when I mentioned there, from the Shankara Bhagavata's commentary, we understand that the discipline, one particular discipline to be observed by a Brahmachari should be, observed by a meditator also, irrespective of whether he is a Brahmachari or not. I said that earlier. Isn't it? Because avoidance of unnecessary relationship. Apart from Shastram, Guruhu, Bhagavan. And here Brahmacharyam here implies, avoidance of improper, inappropriate attitude towards an opposite sex. It's very important. This is Brahmacharyam. Whether a male towards a female or female towards a male. So, avoidance of illegal, inappropriate, relationships, and also even attitude, the behavior, it's all implied here, is what? Brahmacharyam. It's all avoidance. What should be avoided comes under the Yamaha. That's why there is no particular time. Always it has to be followed. That is why they come under the category of Bahiranga Sadhanani. So Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam. Last one. Aparigraha, is it? Isn't it? Aparigraha. See, Aparigraha means, Esther also taught you the meaning of the word Aparigraha, isn't it? See, not over-possessing more than requirement. Sometimes we possess things, legally we work hard, earn, and we possess things. Even then, it is better not to have sense of possession, isn't it? But here, whether the assets and possessions you've accumulated, acquired, through proper means, legally, legitimately, or illegally, isn't it? Still what now? The over possession of anything or illegally possessing, acquiring possessions also is what? Aparigraha. Avoidance of accumulation, acquisition of illegal, illegitimate possessions. And avoidance of over possession of assets accumulated to through legitimate means also. Which means avoidance of over possession of things. Isn't it? Aparigraha. This is one. Then Niyamaha. Yamaha is over. Then we have Niyamaha. So Niyamaha also, that there should be, see first what you have to be avoided you have done, isn't it? Now what should be done? So we can say, what should be followed, what should be avoided? We can say do's and don'ts. The don'ts come under Yamaha, and the Niyamas come under what? Actually, Niyamas, we have this, do's come under the Niyamaha. See, Swadhyayaha. Swadhyayaha means study of the scriptures. Swadhyayaha, study of the scriptures. Because that alone help you always to remain associated with the, the life one has to, how the way of life has to follow. Isn't it? Swadhyayaha. Minus Shastra study, there's nothing which can repeatedly remind you of the importance of the life, dharma, the way of life that one has to live. Shastra study is what? In fact, Shastra study is Swadhyaya. Swadhyayaha. In fact, to begin with, and for the Shastra study to be effective, the main thing that has to be followed is Shaucham. 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 Shaucham means maintenance of what? Shaucham means maintenance of cleanliness. Antara Shaucham, Bahya Shaucham. External cleanliness and also what? Internal cleanliness. So maintenance, maintaining the mental equipoise, taking care of your emotions, etc. Also we can say, antara shaucham, physical health, mental health, external, external cleanliness. We say all of them comes under the category of this one word, shaucham. Bahya shaucham, inner external cleanliness. Isn't it? That very simple, anyway, how to maintain that. Then santoshaha or santriptihi. Santoshaha or santriptihi. See, santoshaha literally, we use in the sense of happiness. That's okay. But here, santriptihi. Toshaha triptihi means contentment. So, being contented with whatever we are blessed with, as a gift from Bhagavan, isn't it? See, contentment is not something we can develop. We need to have a certain understanding. How can we have this? Whatever I am experiencing in this life, whatever comes in my life is what? Ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Therefore, definitely I experience, I enjoy only what I deserve. In keeping with my own karma, palam, therefore all prasada, this understanding will help us avoiding comparisons and maintain this contentment. It's called santoshaha or santriptihi, same meaning. So, shaucham, santoshaha. Then, I said, the third one, I said what? The swadhyayaha. The first they mentioned is Swadhyaya, because Swadhyaya is very important. Shastras, the script, study of the scriptures is very important, therefore I said first. Shaucham, Santoshaha, no? Next is what? Swadhyayaha, next comes Tapas. Tapas actually, avoidance of actually living, okay, living a life, simple living. Simple living implies avoidance of pomp and glamour, isn't it? Luxury, which means you can live comfortably, but you don't need to really make your life too elaborate, too, luxurious. This is an austere living, isn't it? It is tapas. Tapas. Here we have these disciplines, Yamaha, Aniyamaha. These are the disciplines. So they all come under the category of Bahiranga Sadhanani. Then we have, the next comes what? Asanam. Asanam, Pranayamaha, Pratyaharaha. What is asanam? Asanam is actually the physical exercises. It is for the maintenance of the fitness of the annamaya koshaha, the physical personality. It is a discipline. Yoga asanani, asanam. For physical fitness. Then prana ayamaha. So prana ayamaha means actually breathing exercise. So breathing exercise in fact helps the helps us to maintain the mental health also. As it explained earlier also, how thoughts and mind, thoughts and pranas are interconnected. Because in keeping with the rhythm of the your breathing, the thoughts also can be, the flow of thoughts also can be maintained. Which means, it is easy for the wandering mind, if the wandering distracted, highly distracted mind, wandering mind has to be captured and has to be, captured means to prevent the restlessness of the mind to some extent, pranayama helps. So pranayamaha, then comes what? Pratyaharaha. So pratyaharaha actually, in yogic language, in yoga philosophy, what is said to be pratyaharaha is actually in Vedantic language, Indriya Nigraha, mastery over senses. Indriya Nigraha. So I said withdrawal of senses from their sense objects. Is it? So turning away one's senses from sense objects, and through the withdrawal of the mind, attention of the mind from the senses, is called Indriya Nigraha. This is possible only when you remember the value of meditation. Without knowing the purpose, always, see, Indriya Nigraha, people always ask, my God, it's very, very, very difficult. I tell you, any discipline is very difficult to follow unless you know the value of following the discipline. You should know always you have to remind yourself of the greater value of what you are going to accomplish by following this discipline. Only then, knowing the value of the discipline, when you follow the discipline, it becomes a joy. Otherwise, not knowing the greater value of what you are going to lose if you do not follow the discipline, and mechanically when you are imposed, disciplines are imposed on you, following the discipline becomes a discipline burden, and you want to run away from the person who always trying to discipline you. No, people, the more and more we tell people, children, to be disciplined, be disciplined, be disciplined, be disciplined, the more you insist on disciplines, the more people will feel burdened, the more they want to run away from you, they feel controlled. In fact, everybody is dying for freedom. You know, basically everyone wants to be free and nobody wants to be controlled. I feel controlled means immediately I want to get rid of you. My freedom is curtailed means I want to run away from you. I just want to do anything I want to do. Isn't it? But in the teaching, it is not possible. Otherwise, I'm not doing my justice. Therefore, I definitely have to say that. But here, what we say, Shastram itself says, following disciplines, even though it is difficult, one can exercise one's will, make all possible efforts to follow the discipline. It is possible for one to follow the disciplines, and discipline, following the disciplines will be a joy if you remember, remind yourself of the greater value of what you want to ultimately accomplish by following these disciplines. Otherwise, it will be a burden. Therefore, pratyaharaha is what? Indriya nigraha. Otherwise, we say damaha. In Vedanta, we use this term damaha. The damaha is called indriya nigraha. Therefore, okay, indriya nigraha. Then we have asanam, pranayamaha, pratyaharaha. All these three come under antaranga sadhanani. The specific disciplines to be followed. Not always. You won't be doing pranayama always. You won't be, understand, only before meditation you need to turn your senses away from the sense objects. Always you can't turn your senses away from the objects. Then you will end up in accidents and things. Therefore, you have to focus. Sense organs must be indulged, involved in their corresponding objects always. But before meditation, you have to turn your senses from. That's why we call them what? Specific disciplines to be observed before the meditation. Okay. See, in Yama Niyama, I told, no, Yamaha, five disciplines. And Niyamaha, I said, how many? I said, four only, four, I said. The important discipline is there, Sharanagatihi. Sharanagatihi, surrender. Otherwise called, Ishwara Prapattihi. Bhagavat Prapattihi or Ishwara Prapattihi is called what? Sharanagatihi. Is also Niyamaha. An important thing, because always Ishwara Prapatti I did not really bring in here, because all the time I talk about Karma Yoga, that's why I didn't mention, but still I want to tell you here as a part of the Niyama. So five disciplines, the Yamaha consists of five disciplines, Niyamaha consists of five disciplines, the don'ts and the do's. So, Ishwara Prapattihi means surrender to the Lord implies surrendering one's will to the Lord in the form of universal natural law and order. Bhagavan for us is not a given form here. Bhagavan is in the form of universal law and order. The universal natural law and order which governs, you know, everything here is what? We say Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, the Lord. So there is order, you know, the orderliness of morality, orderliness of, you know, the physical universe here, activities, everything. So that law and order in the form of natural laws alone governs and determines the results of all our actions. Therefore, all the situations that we go through in our life are determined by the law and order. Therefore, they are ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Therefore, I see them as prasadaha, gift from the Lord. Therefore, I accept them with the sameness of mind. The samatvam which I have already told, isn't it? But here still, I want to tell you here. Samatvam comes under which? There, Bahiranga Sadhanam, I told you. But here I am talking about the Antaranga Sadhanam. Ishwara Prapattihi or Sharanagatihi. So here, and all the situations when they come also, sometimes, as I said, which comes as a result of my past actions, I said, Prabala Prarabdha means our will cannot do anything. It is a Madhyama Prarabdha means we can manage them using our will. Or Durbala Prarabdha means we can try to eliminate through Prayaschitta Karmas. So Prabala Prarabdha comes means we cannot change, isn't it? Then what should be our attitude towards unchangeable Prabala Prarabdham over which we have no say? What should be the attitude? Graceful acceptance of unchangeable situations. Graceful acceptance of, gracefully we accept the unchangeable situations. Is what? Surrender. Surrender means not just surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. It means, no, I commit myself to live a life of dharma. It means, my will is surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of law and order, which means my actions are not governed by my likes and dislikes. My actions are governed by my knowledge of right and wrong. Means that is surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. Another surrender is what? Acceptance of, gracefully acceptance all situations in my life, unchangeable situations, is also surrender means. Here the question might come, what choice do I have? Therefore, I'm accepting. Means, that is not acceptance. I accept it because there's no choice. But here understanding Ishvara in the form of law and order, accepting the unchangeable situations as prasada, isn't it? Thereby, no, gracefully accepting them, these situations have been ordained for what? For my own emotional maturity. When you accept it, isn't it? Acceptance of the situations gracefully as prasada, you know, will help us avoid entertaining the negative emotions. If we don't accept it as prasada, you know, a helplessly I'm accepting means, then definitely there'll be frustration, anger, hatred, isn't it? All these things will be there. You know, the pain. You can neutralize the negative emotions. But if you gracefully accept them as prasada, you can manage, isn't it? You neutralize. You can avoid the, because non-accept it. But still, there's no attitude is not there. Then definitely it will create the negative emotions. You can avoid such negative emotions by accepting it as Ishvara Prasada, gracefully accepting it, isn't it? So graceful acceptance of situations, oh, they all come and go. It's all for my own maturity. Bhagavan has ordained, isn't it? And understanding will help us manage those. Otherwise, every time we go to tough, hard times in life, my God, how much I have to go through in life. Sometimes we get angry with Bhagavan also. isn't it? Why should I worship? Why should I pray to Bhagavan? And the more I worship, how much I go to temple, how much I pray, still I go through suffering in life. What is the use of prayer? What is the use of worship? Bhagavan has no eyes. He doesn't look at me, doesn't see me. In fact, he's blind or what? Sometimes we blame. Bhagavan also gets scolded sometimes, isn't it? Which means there is lot of anger, frustration, hatred. These all things will be there. Therefore, Ishvara Prapattihi is very important. Surrendering one's will to Bhagavan and accepting every situation, but gracefully accepting the unchangeable situation also is prasada, is surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. Is what is surrender? Surrender helps us manage, neutralize our negative emotions. Isn't it? If we do not neutralize, which will be a great obstacle, impediment for our growth. Our Ishvara Prapattihi comes under Niyamaha. Okay, these Yama Niyama come under the category of Bahiranga Sadhanani. Then Asana Pranayama Pratyahara come under the category of Antaranga Sadhanani. The process of meditation, Krishna is going to discuss in the following verses. But now, before we enter there, Krishna is also, now actually, uses this, Bhagavan Vyasa uses this yoga system of meditation. Now, not system of philosophy, but this discipline of meditation here. So you're going to see, what is the process of meditation? The process of meditation involves three steps, three limbs: dharanam, dhyanam, samadhi. What is dharanam? What is dhyanam? What is samadhi? We'll discuss tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.